Blog Talk Radio.
And I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we're on once a month, me and Pam, and we do the show. We used to do it weekly, and after the first couple of years, it took a lot to be able to line up so many guests week after week after week. So we got to the point where we're like, oh, we need to pull back a little bit, and now we ended up with once a month. Of course, with that said, we actually have a guest coming in next Monday at 8 o'clock. We have a special guest that's coming in. To find out about this show and other shows, you can go to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. We're waiting for our guest this evening to dial in. We'll just give out the number in case she's listening right now. That's 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. Pamela, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm happy to be here. I miss these weekly shows, even though they were a lot at the time. Now that we're only doing it once a month, it feels a bit empty. I'm happy to be back on the radio with you, Mark.
Yeah, it's. I know what you're talking about. I mean, you know, we were looking at it originally, and I know for me, you know, because I do all the work for the different parts of it. And not only managing this, but we have other people have shows on our network also. You know, I was telling people I do 20 hours a month. This was, you know, a year ago when we were doing shows every week. I was doing 20 hours a month in programming and 20 hours a month in online radio. And, you know, so 40 hours a month on top of a full-time job, including everything else I was doing. You know from running the sister network, it's a lot of work. And, but it's just amazing to see all the different guests that we've had and, you know, some of the different guests that we've actually, asked to come back. And then every once in a while we'll shift somebody over to our other show, which is the Men's Spiritual Hour. And we have incredible guests over there, too, you know, with my friend Mike. So, you know, it just, it is amazing. And, you know, we do get a lot of, I get a lot of comments from different people about how the show has, you know, enlightened them. It's kind of helped them in their life. And, you know, it makes the effort so worth it, you know, to hear, different people talk about how it's kind of changed their life for the better. So always nice to hear those kind of kudos that are out there.
For sure. I agree.
Yeah,
well,
so go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say we're waiting for our guest to come on, and maybe we should do something while we're waiting. You know, offer something like a little meditation, for example. What do you think?
I think that's a really good idea. There's something that I've been doing with my friend Brigida. When she channels during her show, the St. Germain radio show that we have once a month, and our friend Mike, he actually channels music. And that what they've been doing is we have Brigida generally doing like a little meditation. And then what I've been doing is I've been doing this new blessing that I've been doing with the new spiritual work that I'm doing, which is called the oneness blessing. It's called Diksha, and I'm actually a Diksha giver now. It's one of my things to add to my spiritual resume. And
wonderful.
What Diksha is it's a energy that's sent out, and I set the intention, number one, that it gives each person what they need for their highest good. The second is that I set it as having the intention that it goes out to anybody who listens to the show or listens to a replay and stuff like that. And we've actually had a lot of people who are sensitive to energy report in from around the world who listen to the replays or the live shows saying, oh, my goodness, that energy was so powerful. It did so many different things for me. And this one woman I know that's very sensitive to it told me that for every time that she gets it, it shows up and it gives her something different, but it's whatever she needed in the moment. So what I'd like to suggest is, if you feel guided to do it, is for you to do like a quick little meditation. And while you do that, I'm just going to send Diksha out to everybody while they listen to your meditation.
I like it. Okay, let's do it.
All right.
For our listening audience, whether it's in the present moment or in the future, I would like you to take a deep breath into your body. Breathe in. Slowly breathe out through your mouth. Now breathe in your nose. Fill up your body with air. Breathe out your nose. Take another deep breath in. Fill up your body with air. When you breathe out, I want you to release any tension or stress in the body with the out breath. Take a deep breath in. One more. Take a deep breath out. Now, the message tonight from my guide to you is that of healing love. Now, what that means is that as you sit there in this meditative position, I want you to breathe in love. And you do that by becoming aware that there are energies all around you. Every one of us have these energies that are constantly flowing love, as though we live in this little love incubator. It's flowing love to us all the time, but we have our defenses up. We don't feel it. So what I want you to do is begin by softening those defenses, softening the boundary that separates you from your world. It's not dangerous. It's actually love that you'll receive. So I want you to soften those boundaries. Soften them even more. Now take a deep breath in and breathe in that love that's being pumped into your system every minute of every day. Without it, you wouldn't even be able to breathe, or your heart wouldn't pump. Nothing would happen. And I want you to become aware of this life-giving love that's moving through the boundaries that you've set up, because they've softened so much, moving in to the different layers of energy that surround you, that make you up. They move into the third layer of your system, which is your spiritual body. And I want you to relax any defenses that you have in your spiritual body, which is about maybe a foot away from your body. Soften those energies. Soften them and let the love in from these surrounding ascended masters and angels. Until you really feel it, breathe into that energy and feel it moving towards you. Now, the next level, which is your auric field or your emotional body, I want you to soften that energy, soften those defenses, soften it until you feel the energy flowing into your emotional body. This should be powerful. As it moves into your emotional body, I want you to feel like you're in an incubator of love. I want you to see the pink light all around you and breathe it in. Fill up your body with that love. Slowly breathe out. Breathe it in. Fill up your body with love. Now become aware of the intensity of the energies that are around you. You have powerful energies around you. You have ascended masters. You have archangels. You have your own personal spirit guide, your own personal guardian angels. And they're all surrounding you, flowing love into your system. Now, the last defense is your body. And with your body, I want you to soften the energies around your body and let that love in. And as you do it, I want you to soften the defenses in your ego that you believe separate you from your world, that make you significant in your world. And I want you to let those defenses go as well. Just make everything soft, where there's no real hard boundaries. The softness just flows into you, into each cell of your body. Breathe it in. Release any tension remaining in the body and let the love flow into the cells, flow into the molecules, flow into the atoms that make up you in this moment now. Flow into the subatomic particles that form your body in this moment now. And from the deepest part of the energy that makes you up as an avatar in this system, in this dimension right now, I want you to breathe that energy in. Fill up all of you with this love. And as you do, I want you to release it into your emotional body, which is also like a grid system around your body. It's like a sculpture which is made up of wire prior to having the clay put on it. And this sculpture is what your body is formed by. I want you to see this grid system and pump in the light. Pump in the love and feel it moving through your entire body, through your auric field, through your physical body, and move it out into your spiritual body. And flow it back as the master you have just become. Flow it back to these energies that are flowing love to you. Flow love back to them. So it becomes a connected circuit. They flow love to you. You flow love to them. They flow love to you. And you flow love to them. And I want you to just do this with your breath for a minute. Breathe it in. Breathe it out. Breathe it in. Breathe it out. Be aware of the existence of these energies, the connectedness that they always have with you. Keep breathing it in, as though, remember, it's as though you're in an incubator of love and like a bubble of love, and the love just keeps pumping into you, and you release it through these very soft fields of energy that you have now. You release it with no defense back to them. When the circuit is complete, your awareness jumps. You now can not only be aware of what's in front of you, but also what's directly behind you, what's on both sides of you, what's above you, what's below you. And I want you to feel this awareness as a part of you. I want you to feel your awareness pump out of your body to everything around you as though it was pouring out like a liquid from your heart and filling up the room that you're in. Take a deep breath in. Know that you're a part of all that's around you. Take a deep breath in again and push that awareness out beyond the room that you're in, beyond and through the ascended masters and archangels that are constantly flowing love to you. And have them help you push that loving energy beyond and around the planet and return back to you in this moment. Feel the love that's always around you every minute of every day, and allow that love into your body and vow to allow it into your body from now on. Now take a deep breath and bring yourself back into the cells of your body. Feel your entire body from the tip of your toes, the tip of your fingers, the top of your head, the edge of your shoulders, down your back. I want you to feel your body and the love that's just generated health, that's just generated perfection. And as you breathe again into your body and breathe out and ground yourself onto the planet once more, hold on to the love that you feel that's always there. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Well, thank you for being on that little meditation with me. That was lovely.
Wow, it felt really relaxing.
Good. You know,
yeah.
What I've been aware of lately is in this dimension, in this third dimensional reality, we have so little love for ourselves and the people around us because this world is so distracting and we're trained to focus our attention out from a very early age. We're trained to focus on paying attention in school and listening to our parents and following the rules and doing what's right and living in this culture, living in a culture that absolutely demands that we pay attention to following the rules. It's almost like being in a tribe. You have to follow the tribal rules in order to not be thrown out of the tribe. It's a very subtle rejection threat, but it's always there. So we're trained very early to pay attention outside of us. And we really have to retrain ourselves because it's completely inverted. We have to retrain ourselves to pay attention to what's inside. Because when things are not going right, there's some out there. There's something not going right in there. And most, in, I would say, almost 100% of the cases, the problem is always lack of love. Because we don't let ourselves feel it. We don't even know it's there. What do you think about that, Mark?
I think it's true. I think, you know, we spend so much time looking for things outside of ourselves. I think, you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, loving other people and stuff like that. You know, when you ask the person, you know, reflect on themselves, do you love yourself? And in a lot of cases, we don't. We treat ourselves worse than we would treat our own enemies. And it's, you know, it's something that I've seen over the years, you know. And I think there's a lot of not wanting to deal with maybe some of the stuff that we have inside of ourselves. So we spend a lot of time distracting ourselves with either stuff from the past or something in the future that we're looking forward to. that we're not present. It could be listening to music, going to movies. I mean, all these great things are things you can do in life. But the question is, you know, why are you doing them? Are you doing them to keep yourself busy, to constantly be busy to the point that you never even reflect or you know, I think for a big portion of my life, you know, I noticed that I've achieved a lot of things in my life. You know, I have 3 college degrees and I went up the corporate ladder in New York City over 25 years and, you know, I have 2 children and there's been a lot of achievements in my life, but for most of my life, I never even paused for a moment to appreciate any of it because I was always pushing forward to something, the next step up, the next movement, the next thing, the next material item, the next position. And looking back on it, realizing that for a lot of my life, I was totally miserable. I mean, I basically had everything you could ever think of in life, you know, up to like $500,000 bank account to anything I wanted to do, I could do. And through all that, just totally miserable, just totally hating my life. And I remember there was a time when I actually went to go see a psychiatrist for a couple of years. And the primary reason I went is because I had all these great things in my life and everything was perfect as far as the model of everything. And I used to sit there in that space and go, well, if everything is perfect, why do I hate myself? Why do I hate my life? And, you know, when I look at it and I go back and reflect on it, I realize that it's because I never took a moment to appreciate or have gratitude for anything that I had in my life. It was always about trying. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, what? I was just going to say that that's an excellent point. It's so hard to not be in the same room, you know. You know, we sometimes stumble on each other. Were you finished, or did you want to add to that? I'm sorry.
No, I think that was it. I mean, basically, I think I kind of covered it.
Okay. You know, what I was going to say was the idea, it's kind of the way we're wired as well. Our brains work in a way and they actually have done studies showing that there are 4 to 5 negative thoughts for every 1 positive one. And that's the way we're wired. And we're wired that way because it was important to look for danger, to try to fix problems before they come up, to try to not get eaten by the tiger. And so, you know, it's a survival mechanism. We have 4 to 5 negative thoughts for every 1 positive. Now, can we change that? Because certainly having 4 to 5 thoughts to every 1 positive doesn't make us very happy. And the answer is yes, we can change it, but there's a degree of attention that needs to be put on what it is that we're thinking and feeling. And, you know, for example, Mark, you know, I bought a house a few years ago on a lake. And it is just the most gorgeous place, especially when the weather's amazing, which it has been in Florida the last few days. And when I first moved in here, I thought to myself, I wonder how long it will take for my brain to not see this beauty anymore. Because that's exactly what it is. When you know, there's been studies done about happiness, lots of studies. And basically what it says is if you make $5,000 a year, you're not very happy because your basic needs are not covered. And the difference between $5,000 a year and $50,000 a year, there's a huge jump in happiness. Because obviously at $50,000 you can meet your needs. But between $50,000 a year and $5 million a year, there's very little change in happiness because your needs are met and your brain doesn't record. I mean, it might record little highs, little good things that happen. You know, you get married, you have a child, you buy a house, and that's all wonderful. And it lasts for a very short time. And something terrible happens, and you think it's ruining your life, but the truth is that lasts for a very short time, too. And we come to a level of, I used to call it the emotional ground state, you know, where you have an atom and you excite the atom and it goes faster, or you depress the atom and it goes slower. But if you're not doing either one of those, there's a ground or vibrational state that the atom will return to. And that's kind of where our emotional state exists. Each one of us has a different one. But, you know, some people like to be angry. Some people stay cheery. Some people, it's different. And most everybody has three or four emotions that they experience all day in their emotional ground state. But this concept of shifting your state upwards and shifting this idea of five negative thoughts to one positive one is a fascinating one, because if you can recreate yourself as happy, like, you know, and say to yourself, well, right in the morning, no matter what happens today, I'm going to have a hell of a good time. No matter what happens today, I'm going to stay happy, and I'm going to stay giving, and I'm going to stay open, and I'm going to keep those defenses down and relaxed and soft so that I connect with my environment, and I connect with the people in my environment. So you can do that. You can shift your emotional ground state by creating something new, creating yourself as being really happy, writing it down, reading it every day, making a visualization of yourself during the day being really happy, and understanding that we're wired that way. You know what you were saying about you have so many things going on, and so you have the perfect life compared to what other people saw, certainly is the perfect life, the American dream, and yet you were so unhappy. It's because, and most people feel this way, it's almost like, okay, I've gotten to the top of the ladder, and the ladder's on the wrong wall. You know, it's like, that's not who I really want to be. And so you start asking the right questions. And I think it's important to hit a wall like that, to ask the right questions. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it is really important to do that. I mean, I think that's a lot of what people don't do. They get so caught up in life and distractions that they don't stop to appreciate anything or to have the gratitude. And it's funny, because what you had mentioned earlier is something, and I forget where I hear things from. I'm just kind of trying to reconnect. But something you said earlier about starting your day and saying, no matter what happens today, I'm going to look at this as a great day. Oh, I know what it was. I was coming home in my car tonight, and the satellite radio, which I've had shut off for a while, had free previews. And I tuned into somebody that I listen to every once in a while, which is a guy from Texas in the big church. It was a Joel Osteen. And I was listening to one of his sermons this afternoon, and that's exactly what he said. He says, when you get up in the morning, he said exactly what you said. So I love when you get that that synchronicity.
Cool. Well, my feeling is that sometimes people get stuck. Oftentimes they get stuck because who they used to be is not who they are anymore. We're all evolving at a very fast speed. We're all evolving very, very quickly. And when we look at who we used to be, and the job that we do every day seems to be the person who we were and not the person that we are anymore, but we don't even know who we are, and we don't know where we're going, and the whole thing seems very scary, because it's like, in order to let the old die, you have to release it. But you don't know, I mean, it's emptiness. You have to be okay to be empty for a while until you recreate something else. And that's a terrifying position to be in. I think it's important. I really think it's important to take a look at who you would like to become. In other words, if you're at the end of your life, and I think Tony Robbins does this exercise, and I really like it. I think I've heard it from a few other people too, maybe Zig Ziglar a long time ago. It's like the end of your life exercise, where you put yourself at the very end of your life And you're in a rocking chair and you're very, very, very old. And you're looking back at your life. What kinds of depths of purpose do you have? What kind of achievements have you made? What kind of character have you developed? What type of service have you offered? What personal legacy have you written in this world? What if, after you go, people are still talking about you for 200 years? Like George Washington, or, you know, there's so many people that have become such an indelible part of our world by the things that they did, by history itself, by the achievements, the inventions, whatever it is that they've accomplished has put them in a legacy that has changed the face of the planet as we know it. What if you individually could do that? Who would you be? Now get a real good sense of that older version of you. How do you make people feel when they're around you? Do they feel so much better because they've been with you? Now, once you have that vision of yourself, bring it into your body right now, into the present. That will give you an indication as to how to create yourself in this moment. What do you think about that, Mark?
I'm sorry I was distracted for a minute. I will fess up right now. I was updating the website and everything, letting people know about the change of guests for this evening.
I see. Well, it's fine. You know, I was just making a point about creating yourself in your world. And I just gave a visualization about creating yourself as you're very old in a rocking chair and getting that image of the depth of who you are and then bringing it back into your body in the moment and becoming that person. It's like you need to create yourself because you don't find yourself. It doesn't just happen to you. Your energy doesn't just mold into actually, most of the time it does. And unfortunately, that's why we sleep through our lives. We never ask the question, who do we want to be? We never ask the question, if we could be anyone, if we could give anything, if we could create a legacy in our lives, who would we be? What would we do? How would we offer a service that no one else can offer on this planet right now? And we're all different. We all have so much to give. Hello.
I was just taking it all in and coming to be present again. excuse me.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, it's vitally important if you want to wake up, and it's so, so simple. If you want to wake up, all you have to do is create the fact that you've already woken up. So simple, so pure, so amazingly elementary, but yet, the most powerful thing anyone will ever say to you. If you want to wake up, if you want to be enlightened, if you want to be in love with you and in love with your life and in love with the people around you, all you need to do is visualize yourself already being that and feel what that would feel like to already be that. And then generate. You know, often what I do is generate a mantra. And I generate this mantra, and whenever I'm alone, like in the car or, you know, I'm alone in the house. Whenever I'm alone, which is not often, let me tell you, I have to strive for these moments of aloneness. but when I'm alone, I start this mantra. It's like it comes automatically now because I do it so much. And this mantra brings me back to that presence that I know that I already am. I generate that enlightenment. I generate that power. And it's an amazing feeling. It really is an amazing feeling. Like, let me sing the mantra for you so everybody gets an idea as to what this sounds like. Om Namah Shivaya. 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 If you generate a mantra that brings you back to this feeling, and you generate the energy and the power and the enlightenment in your body every day, there is absolutely no way that the distractions of the world will stop that from happening. You will get stronger in that power because that's your essence. That's who you are. You'll get stronger in that power every minute. You'll get stronger in that power every time you recite that mantra. And it can be anything. It doesn't have to be that elaborate. It can be just Om.
That was powerful. Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry?
I said thank you for that blessing, too, on the earlier meditation. I forgot to say thank you.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. So, when you were talking about, you know, taking a situation and seeing it a different way, it's a lot of the visualization I've done over the last 5 years where, you know, I'll be in different, you know, sometimes you get into these patterns with people, and the best thing you can do is, you know, to break out of that pattern is to see it in a different way, you know, kind of almost rewrite the story, as I would say, and, you know, just kind of put a lot of love and positive energy towards what you want to see as far as the outcome. And I've had over and over again, I've seen witness to outcomes that have changed from just that visualization. It reminds me a lot of when I was studying some of Summer Mastravic's work on flow dreaming. And using your daydreaming to create, you know, almost laws of attraction or whatever it is that you're trying to create in your life. So it's just so much power in doing that to see situations a lot different. And, you know, of a lot of different people that I've coached over the years, I've kind of talked to them about that to say, okay, well, you know, if this is the way it always is, I mean, what can you do that's different? You know, how can you show up different? What kind of energy? And they say, oh, well, you know, it's all about the other person. That other person's not going to change. I say, well, don't worry about changing the other person. Why don't you just show up differently and see what happens? And lots of times when you do that, you can actually see people shift just because you come and you're not that arguing person or the person that, you know, it's almost like it's a pattern and it's set that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and there's several dimensions to it. There's the neuro-linguistic issue. In other words, when you have a relationship with someone and you begin interacting with that someone in a negative way, it develops an emotional pattern where every time you look at them, you feel like that negativity comes back up again. And the same is true for positive emotions, by the way. But we often fall into negative emotions with other people. There was one other thing I was going to say about the relationship thing. You know, there's lots of ways, there's a myriad of ways to get to a point where you feel a level of awareness and enlightenment. You feel a level of power in that essence that you are. There's a myriad of ways. I mean, over the years, I've done everything from lucid dreaming studies to channeling ascended masters to energy healing work to creating the Keys of Life seminars and delivering that to talking to spirit guides in one mediumship reading after another. And all of those things, they can take you around the block, and they can take you around the block and show you another little perception, another little crack in the armor of your ego so you can break that up a little bit more. And all of those things work. The problem is that they all work fairly slowly because you still see yourself as the same inadequate person that isn't quite there yet. And the truth is that that's all a big lie. The real truth, the real bottom line God's gospel truth is that you're already there. All you have to do is let it in. Let in the information, let in the light. And the way that you do that is by recreating yourself in that master position. In other words, you write yourself as a master. Now, most people can't even fathom this. But what if? I mean, we talk about the law of attraction all the time. We talk about creating life around us. Well, if that's possible, certainly it's possible to just create yourself. So, and that's what we do. That's what our ego is, a search for significance. The ego is a search for significance. And the significance meaning I have a significance and you don't. And that's, even though that's not how we like to see the world, that's how the ego sets it up. So I have a significance because I'm a vegetarian, or I'm an animal whisperer, or I am a medium, or I am this, or I'm that, or I'm a good swimmer, or a bad cook, or a good this, or a bad that. And we all search for significance. Well, rather than looking for a crack in the armor and breaking little pieces off of this big ego that we've constructed over so many years, what if we just created it away? What if we just created ourselves as masters? And instead of saying, well, no matter what happens today, I'm going to have a hell of a good day, you say, whatever happens today, my heart is staying open, for I am the light of the world. I am the master. And the world depends on me. What if you just made that one little shift? You just made that one little change, and every day you would feel yourself as that master. And you would walk out into your world, and those relationships that have developed strange neural negative programming, and you immediately want to respond in a negative way, that's usually below your awareness. When you start creating yourself as a master, all that stuff comes up to your awareness, and you're aware that you're behaving like this, that you're thinking like this, that you're feeling that. And then you have a choice. Am I the master in this moment, or am I the ego searching for significance in a fight with this person? Those choices will keep you, either depending on what you decide, they'll keep you as the master that you've created yourself to be and truly the light of the world. Like Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He also said, anything that I can do, you can do, and more. Now, if you follow, if you follow these words, then you've got to see that you are also in the same position. Create yourself as a master. Walk into the world with your heart open, with your defenses down. That doesn't mean that you're going to be the doormat. What that means is you're going to offer love, and that light is going to flow through you and make other people's lives so much better. People are going to start saying, why is it that when I'm around you, I just feel better? Why is it that my life just gets better when you show up? What is it about you that's so different, that's so interesting, that's so loving and nurturing and amazing? Because I've created myself that way. That's why. Because I love you and I love myself. And I let that love that's all around me, that's flowing into me every second, I let it in. And then I release it to you. Powerful. So powerful. What do you think about that, Mark?
The message is so timely for me. I mean, for so much of my journey, I've looked outside of myself for answers. And, you know, I've gotten to the point where, you know, like yourself, I've achieved so much in different levels of spirituality. You know, I've learned from so many of the masters that are out there. And, you know, I'm left with the final question, which is, okay, if I understand laws of attraction 15 different ways, then, you know, why is it that I don't create? You know, why is it that, you know, I can't manifest? And, you know, like you said, you just have to let that light out. You just have to let that, you know, that part of you come out, because the truth of it is, in the end, in situations like this, we are our own worst enemies, because we get in our way with our negative thinking, or we get in the way of just not allowing the light come out. It's, for some of us, it's not even about being fearful of failure. It's being fearful of the light that we could be and how powerful that can be. And as you were kind of talking, one of the things that came to mind is, you know, I keep on being brought back to the idea of gratitude, which I think was, if you followed the series of The Secret, it was originally The Secret, then The Power, and then The Magic. And the book The Magic is based on gratitude, and that is having gratitude. And I forget what the exact quote is, but it goes something along the lines of, you can go every moment in your day like there's never a miracle, or you can go every moment of the day as every moment is a miracle. And the truth is that so much of what's going on in our lives is a miracle. I mean, I drove to work this morning, you know, about 20 minutes and a lot of traffic. You know, I got there without any problems. I was able to get something to eat, and, you know, I met a lot of great people. I mean, that in itself is probably, you know, if you get beyond breathing and the heart beating and everything else that's going on, you know, that in itself is so many miracles that are there. And how easily, like you said, to be at the lake and to wonder, how long do I have to be here before I don't even recognize the beauty anymore? And the question would be is, for all of us in life, how far have we come that we just take every moment for granted? Like everything just happens and it's okay. It's just realizing in every moment that we can have gratitude for the fact that I got down the end of the street and I didn't get in a car accident, or I ate something and didn't get food poisoning, or, you know, all these miracles that occur one right after the other, yet we never have gratitude for any of it.
That's true. And sometimes it pops up to our awareness, like when we're late for something. And this has happened to several people that I know. It's happened to myself as well, where you're running late and you get held up by a phone call or by an unexpected event. And then you get in your car and you drive and you pass a terrible accident. And you realize that if you had not been late, that might have been you. those kinds of things that pop you up to awareness and you say, wow, I have guardian angels. I have people that are taking care of me. I really do have energy that I can feel that stopped me from going when I was supposed to go. Now, and to quote exactly what you were talking about earlier, it was Albert Einstein that said it, and he said, there are only two ways to live your life, as though nothing is a miracle, or as though everything is a miracle.
Yeah, and that's great.
And that's absolutely true. I think go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, from the teachings of the oneness movement that I'm following right now, we have a teacher in India who's called Bhagwan. And Bhagwan says that everything you ask for that comes out of your mouth is granted by your creator.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only two exceptions that something will not be granted when you ask for it. The first is if to give you that would put you in such danger that it would just be a really bad idea, you know, like you being delayed and missing that accident.
Mm-hmm.
The second reason is that something else that's bigger and has a better outcome for you is being lined up for you. And
mm-hmm.
I think for a lot of us, you know, I think every one of us could admit that one of our life lessons is patience. And if you're talking about me, the lack of it's a very interesting way of looking at things to realize that what comes out of your mouth is created, and more importantly, to watch how you're using your words. I mean, how many of us say, "Well, I'm sick to death," or "This is killing me," or "My life sucks," and I mean, realizing that, you know, we're creating constantly, so maybe we want to watch a little bit more of what we're saying and and realize that positive or negative, you can create stuff. So let's try to start our day, like you said, and saying today's going to be a great day.
Well, yeah, I think I think you got the point that, you know, that I've been talking about. It's also true, though, Mark, that if you generate who it is that you want to be as a master, life changes. You know, the Sufi poets like Rumi, their whole concept was to love intensely, love their life, love their body, love the people that are hating them, love people that they don't agree with, love the trees, love the sky, everything. The focus was to release the defense and to feel the love that's there already. Now, if we generate ourselves in a way that says, okay, rather than going through all these trainings and doing all this stuff, I'm just going to create myself as a master. That's it. What would a master feel like? A master would have her or his heart open at every minute of every day. What would a master create in their life? What would a master make other people feel like? What would a master generate on a day-to-day basis in terms of experience? How would it feel to be a master? And you bring that into your life just like you're creating a new car, for God's sake. You know, you create a new car. You imagine yourself in the car. You know The Secret. I'm sure you've seen it many times, where the guy, you know, is needing a new car, and he would generate himself feeling like he's in this new car, feeling and smelling the new leather and putting his hands on the steering wheel and all that, bringing that into reality until your heart, not your head, but your heart feels that it's a reality. Then you can let it go, and the law of attraction will bring it to you. But what if, instead of creating a new car, which is certainly something you could do, but instead generating your ego as just releasing, softening, going away, or, you know, egos never completely go away because they hold on to the body in terms of always struggling for significance. But it's something that you that doesn't affect you anymore, that you don't need that significance anymore, because who you are is this amazing light being, this master that gives light to the world. It's a completely different feeling than who you normally see yourself as.
Mm.
What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're getting close to the end of the show. Do you want to add anything? I'm sorry we didn't get our normal guest, but I've had a great time.
Yeah, me too. So, yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and just close it down. Thanks, Pam, for being on, as always. And we want to remind everybody to come in next week. We're actually going to do another show next Monday at 8 o'clock. And we're having a woman come on, which I can never pronounce anything correctly. I can never pronounce her name. I think it's Angelica. And she does very powerful mantra music and stuff like that. So we're going to have a lot of sound samples next week. And it's going to be really interesting to interview her. She's basically off the grid and is going to make a 4-hour trip to a place where she can actually phone into the show. So definitely somebody who likes her privacy, and it's going to be really exciting to have her on the show. To find out more about that, you can go to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and close out with our song. And thanks a lot, Pam.
Thank you, Mark. Have a nice week. And to everyone out there.
Okay. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.
Life is but a dream.